Today is June 28, 2026. This is the First Baptist Church of Troy, New Hampshire. I'm Pastor Don Williams, and we're continuing with our series on a look at selected prophetic passages, where we look, study, and teach these prophecies without agenda, simply what does the Scripture say. I am Pastor Don Williams, and we are recording and bringing this to you through the Bible Labs Ministries recording studios. All of this series, as well as others, are available on the church webpage, www.troybaptist.com. For the past several weeks, we have been looking at selected passages in the book of Revelation. And the past 5 weeks, we have particularly been in the throne room of God. Find that in chapters 4 and 5. Last week and the week before, we considered the 24 elders seated around the throne. Last week, we looked at the golden crowns. Today, we consider the golden vials of prayer that each of the 24 elders possess. Next week, we will be looking at the golden harp, which each and every one of the 24 elders possesses. Let's pray before we begin. Father, thank you for another opportunity to study, research your word, and then teach it, explain it, exposit it, trying, as they said in Nehemiah, to make the sense of it. It's our prayer, Lord, that we be fully, completely accurate in all that we say. Do not allow us to make error or to in any way bring forth apostasy. We do look at a subject that does have many opinions, and we understand that somebody that doesn't necessarily agree or see it our way is not an apostate. In some of these areas, you may be holding specific truths to make manifest a little bit later. So there's a balance there, Lord. We pray that you keep us right where you want us to be. So we commit ourselves completely to you and each and every listener. And Lord, as always, this summer as we record, there is a lot of excessive road noise. And I just pray that you enable us with the tools that we have to filter that out, that we would be able to do the very best production for your honor and glory that we can do. So of all that, we thank you, asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing of importance is for us to review the 24 elders, because that is the theme that all that we're looking at today actually surrounds. The number 24, we discovered, is linked to David dividing the Levitical priests into 24 courses. And what we concluded was the number 24 represents the whole. Now, the 24 representing the whole of the elders does represent the whole of the redeemed. The 24 elders are the redeemed. The word elder, presbyteros, generally implied age, respect, and experience, therefore qualifying for leadership. Consequently, many churches call their leadership elders. Now, we find the elders seated on thrones, and that implies the truth that we find in Scripture, that the redeemed will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We find them robed in white raiment, which is signifying they were washed white by the blood of the Lamb. And if we're still doubting if this really is the redeemed, we find them singing the song of the redeemed. They are made unto our God kings and priests, part of the statement that they make. Kings and priests. As we said, Jesus Christ holds both offices, Melchizedek and the church. Last week, the gold crown. We discovered that it is a reward earned by works, not salvation. We're not talking about salvation. but the rewards for faithfulness earned by works, and they end up cast before the throne. Now today we're going to consider the golden vials of prayer. That's the King James word, and we're going to look at all of this. Well, let's remind you what we said last week. Why is everything gold here associated with the 24 elders? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament tabernacle or temple symbolism of the throne room of God, it was the Holy of Holies. And everything in the Holy of Holies, pretty much as well as the holy place, which represents Jesus Christ, the Holy of Holies represents the throne room of God. Simply put, and maybe oversimplified, gold is the main element of decor. The introducing verse of the 24 elders was Revelation 4:4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats, and this word seat meant throne, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now all of that we've talked about. That's the scripture foundation for it. I want to take you on into chapter 5 and jump down to verse 8, because here is our key, actually, phrase of what we're talking about today. Sometimes we can have long passages, sometimes just a few verses, sometimes only one verse, and here only one phrase. Look at it with me in Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the book, that was the seven sealed scroll, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, and here's the phrase, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. That's what we're talking about, that last phrase, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, the first thing I want to mention, Revelation chapters 4 and 5 really need no chapter division. If you look in chapter 5 and verse 1, you see the conjunction and that's your first hint that these two chapters are really joined. We're not making a hard issue. I appreciate the divisions of chapters and verses. It makes study and finding things a lot simpler, but the theme carries on straight through. Now you get the hint in verse 8 that there's some very serious worship going on here. That's the hint, and I'm going to, in just a minute, read the entire chapter 5. Even though all I'm speaking on is one phrase, I want us to see the whole context of these elders around the throne, because that is going to bear a lot of insight and reveal some truth about that which we want to say. So let's go back to Revelation 5, verse 1, and there's that conjunction, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I, John, wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Here's our verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, there were a lot of things there, such as the scroll or the book, and the four, they're called beasts. They're really, I think, cherubim. We're going to look at those in detail in coming lessons, not next week, but in the lessons as we continue. Now, among other things, you had to have noticed that the 24 elders are really into some serious worship here. You see that all through chapters 4 and 5, which, as I said, need no chapter division. Now, there's a reference. They've got in their hands a golden vial and a golden harp. Now, the harps, and I believe, rather than getting all caught up in trying to make this literally fit, although some of it may, I think the point of it, it's a serious object lesson that the Holy Spirit is using in the book of Revelation to use as a teaching tool. You could call it a serious object lesson. But what is indicated here, just simply, is music and praise. And we look at that subject alone next week. We will look at these other things that you may have questions about, such as the four creatures that are magnificent and the myriads, literally, of angels here, and particularly this scroll or book, as it says in King James. Now, a Dr. Carl Armerding stated something that I found very significant and I want to pass on to you. And he said this, that Jesus Christ's prayer, that intercessory prayer in John 17, it is answered in these elders. Three particular things: that they might know him, that they might be with him, and they might behold his glory without argument. You see the 24 elders fulfilling these three, and remember, they represent all of the redeemed. Now, as we plunge into this study, the very first item of importance that we need to consider is the priesthood. Remember, as church, we are kings and priests. And in verse 10 of chapter 5, in the song, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, I want us to consider for just a few quick minutes the priesthood of the church. I want to remind you of something that we have looked at in depth in the past. And that, in the study of John, this particularly was, the torn veil in the temple indicated this happened when Christ shouted from the cross, "Paid in full," or as the King James says, "It is finished." That torn veil, which was a miracle in itself, indicated that we may enter the throne room of God. It's no longer blocked off. Now let's think about being a priest. And this to some degree is true Old Testament or with the church. But what really, if somebody was talking to you about your vocation, you're a priest, and they would ask you, what's the perk? What is the greatest perk or benefit that you get from this job? I think with a lot of thought, you might answer, I have access to God. Now, as a priest, you would say, I am obligated to approach God on behalf of the people that I represent. That was indicated in the Old Testament in a very complicated set of rituals whereby the priest would have to symbolically, I'll use the word atone because that means cover. I will not use the word propitiate here, but they would do sacrifices and sprinkle blood in a lot before they could do that for the people. They had to do that for themselves. Now, let's go back to that throne room and look at something here. You've heard this said so much, especially in our messages, if you follow us fairly routinely. Where's Jesus Christ today? Well, the common cliche that I love to use, he is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for his people. I've dramatized that out off the basis of Satan accusing us before the throne. And what we get for a picture of this in the book of Job. But Jesus is our interceder. He's the one that paid the price for us. And he's the one that declared the payment of our sin paid in full. Having had our sin cleansed, this is a new thought, folks, at least for me. We are joined intercessors with him on the behalf of others. I thought, and he is the main man here, don't make any less of this. He interceding, he is the intercessor, but so are you and I. You say, yeah, when we get to heaven. No, right now. And we are joined with Jesus. Now, we may have a less degree of it. I'm not going to get into the technicalities here, but we are intercessors with him on the behalf of others. Let's look at this a little closer. Remember, the phrase that we are looking at speaks of a vial of prayer. So prayer is our main subject. And our intercession with Christ, Christ directly intercedes with the Father. But before the throne, you and I are bringing our prayers every time we pray. Now, just a quick sidebar, very quick. I think a little more than just prayer. We're talking about the office of priest. And yes, that is an intercessory ministry where we have access to God, but intercessing on behalf of others, and that is prayer. But there may be something else that goes with this, and that would be offering praise and or worship. That may be part of the action of a priest. You say, what right have you got to say that? Hebrews 13:15, I'll read it for you. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And in that book, you will discover, if you haven't already, he talks about our office as believers of priests. I want to bring you another thought. We're going to get right into the vials, the odors, these specifics. But just in general here, this priestly ministry, praise and worship may be part of that. But the intercessory part is definitely founded on prayer. And particularly, it's emphasized here, prayer for the saints. But there is another degree, I think, that the priestly ministry of the believer may, I'll emphasize may, include intervening for the world. And I'm speaking of non-believers. How do we do that? Well, think with me. Through evangelism, when we are proclaiming God's truth and the good news, which is called the gospel. Do you pray for the salvation of your unsaved loved one? Are you not intervening? Are you not interceding? I think that is part of the office of priests. What about interceding on behalf of other needs? Well, I have a lot of unsaved friends that I pray for, especially if they have, as one particular one that I am thinking of, has gone through a serious battle with prostate cancer. And to this moment, he is in remission. And he made the statement to me a few months ago, your prayers of your extended church fellowship sure worked here. How do you accredit it? Yes, praise worship, intervening, especially for salvation, but the needs of the unbeliever that they may come to a saving knowledge of Christ by believing on him is a part of our priesthood. But I think the heart and soul of it may rest on interceding for the body, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, let's take these elements apart. I want to start with the word, the King James word, vial. Now, I researched this quite a bit, and I looked at several sources because I can now with the Bible software that I have. And here's pages of material cut down to a short phrase. A vial, as was used in that word, the Greek word, bowl, or basin, or the word vial, but with a wide mouth. Now, whenever you read that in the King James, vial of prayers, what did you think? Maybe you thought a big bowl, but I'll tell you what I thought. I thought how quaint. I thought of some of the teeny tiny bottles of perfume that my wife, my daughter, my granddaughters would have on their dressers. And I thought, what a pretty picture. These 24 elders holding a little bottle of prayers that they're bringing up before the throne. Never stopped to think that it could possibly be a bowl or a basin. But as I thought about this, I thought about this part of it. If you have a big need and you want me on your behalf to take your prayer before the throne, what kind of a vessel do you want me to use? A little teeny tiny bottle with a narrow opening? Now, with my personality, I'm thinking if I needed your prayer, I'd want you to take a double tractor trailer up. I want all the prayer I can get. Now, this is symbolic. I really believe that. But you see, golden wide mouth saucers were very common in both the tabernacle at first and then the temple. Now, what is a vial? It's a container to primarily transport a substance, or in some cases, get this, maybe even house it. My wife has bottles of perfume that is not used like other substances. It is housed there until she has a reason to use it. Now, with perfume, that makes good sense. But we're not talking about a perfume where a little bit goes a long ways. We're talking about prayer. So I'm going to say, don't be stingy. Get the biggest vessel you can. And how do I do that? Well, it's a lot of work and time and effort. How did Paul put it in Philippians? Everything with prayer and supplication. That supplication indicates a lot of work. And let me say this. Don't be merely ritual. Say the same old prayer over and over and over. I gotta pray. So you may pray the Lord's Prayer memorized and mind be way off on something or something that you've designed and kind of it's become a routine. I don't think that's real prayer. And as you look at this as office of priest, where should your main focus be? On you or others? In the quietness of your heart as you hear me, do you pray mostly for your own stuff? Or do you pray intercedingly with supplication for others? You might ask the question, am I wrong to pray for myself? No, definitely not. You got the example of Jesus. In fact, Jesus was praying something that actually was out of the will of the Father. He said, if it be possible. Well, he isn't sinning because it wasn't possible. And I think he probably knew that. But in his humanity, if it's possible, let this cup, it was the cross, pass from me. But not my will, yours be done. And think about that, praying for himself, but putting that rider on that prayer, if you will. Not my will, yours. Why? Because of others, you and me. Let's go to that word, King James word, odors. Take that apart. It means incense. Go back to the Old Testament tabernacle. You'll find the altar of incense, and it depicted prayer. Now let's look at, if we had time, we go dig right into it. But let's just look at what the scripture put for directions on that. First off, it was to be done continuously. In Exodus 38, burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. When are we finished with prayer? Never. Continual. You say, I can't do that. A heart of prayer. When you see a need, do you just in your heart offer up a prayer? Now, where was this place? Well, it's the holy place. This is where it was put. I call it Christ's room, but it's placed exactly before the door to God's throne room, which was the Holy of Holies. Now, we're told that twice daily, every morning and evening, the priest would go in and maintain this altar. There was a particular formula for the incense. In fact, it was capital punishment if you were caught with that formula outside of the temple. That's another story. But I wonder about this. Should this be a pattern of our prayer? Well, for you disciplined people, it's a good routine. First thing in the morning, and even us ADD people, we may not be so formal about it. But if our first awakening moment is a talk with God and our last a talk with him in the evening, that's certainly a good thing. Now, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the horns of the altar were sprinkled with the blood of the sin offering. This is the altar of incense, folks. It was offered before the veil in such a way that the smoke would go into the Holy of Holies. In fact, if you want a little more scriptural proof that I'm telling you the truth, Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. He identifies prayer with incense. What was the purpose of the incense? Was it a magic formula that worked magic? No, it was a picture of prayer. And that is what changes things and works wonders. Now a question. Back to Revelation 5. My question, what sets off this praise and worship? I said you have some heavy praise and worship going down here. Now, when Jesus Christ takes the sealed book, and you're going to look at that with me in coming lessons, but just very quickly to the point, it's titled Deed to Earth. He is taking one more step. Get me? in the complete redemption, where sin will be completely removed, the restoration of the earth, and the curse lifted. That forever, happy ever after, in a new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem, ultimately. We're going to look at all of this in detail later, but I want you to look at something specifically with me. How many prayers over the years have gone up before the throne? Think about every time that the Lord's Prayer, we call it, the prayer that he taught his disciples, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Has that been answered yet? No, it has not. And if there ever, before the throne room of God, was a bottled prayer with a lid on it that hasn't quite been opened yet, that is it. But as you look at what is about to take place, and it'll be years before it completely gets there, 1,000-year millennial reign, 7-year tribulation, and probably a few interceding years in between, but unanswered prayers of the centuries will be fulfilled. Think about this. Every prayer ever gone before the throne room of God focused on the removal of evil, the restoration of the earth, God making everyone think and do right, and people that still have a free will? Wow, that's a miracle. It's soon, from the perspective in Revelation 5, to be answered. And as I said, the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Millions have prayed this. Even now, with the battle going on with Iraq, and I know people pray both sides of this, but those of you that get a little righteous indignation here, why doesn't God do something with these people? And when crime is allowed to escalate, God ought to do something with that. No, God gave free will in creation, and Satan defiled it with his lies when he said, "You will be as God." I've said there can only be one God. And something has got to take place to bring the human free will into that place where it is completely compliant with God's will. And folks, that may require a tribulation and trials and tribulations even in our time. A lot of sealed bottles before the throne. You know, this puts a different spin on the statement in John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Okay, let's illustrate this almost with the absurd, but it's really true. So I pray, God, take all the wrong, all the evil, all the sin out of the world. Make everyone, now I'm going to get a little sinful myself, think like I do. What's wrong with that? Think like you do, Lord. That's the key difference. It's not about me. It is all about Jesus. Now, I'm doing it in his name. That means in his will. Is God willing that all sin? Of course he is. But it takes time. And some of these prayers, I won't call them sealed, but they are literally bottled and will be offered up in the process of these coming future prophetic events. All prayer that is really prayed in Jesus Christ's name, according to his will, in other words, will be answered. You may be dead on earth before it's answered, but it will be answered. It is as though the prayers have been bottled until the time of their fulfillment. Well, a quick so what, just to give you a bit of, or give those that I've researched many, 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 many sources, and always Morris, McGee, MacArthur, and usually Chuck Missler, although I really don't know that I've quoted him at all here, but many, many others provided my insight through this research. So what do we do? Keep on praying. Don't let Satan defeat you. A prayer that seems unanswered, if it is in God's will, if it is in his name, will be answered. Prayer, intercessory prayer, is hard work. Don't be lazy. It's not all about you. Your office of priest, intercede for others. You pray not in vain unless you pray amiss. How do I do that? Well, go to the book of James, talking about where war and fighting started. Conflict. It's upon our own hearts trying to pray and consume something on our lust. Our lust, not the will of God. So, Father, take this, make it clear in every heart, I pray. May we all, and it has to start with me here too, may we not be lazy and too busy about this very important thing we call intercessory prayer. So we thank you and ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.